body just bounce, bounce. Check it out. Everybody just bounce, bounce.
You gotta shake it off.
You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by Them Chickens Are Ash and Here's Lotion, David Lim, and me, the emancipation of JB, Joel Babington. Hello, David, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I feel like we just, you know, need to have this moment, JB. Have a splash of wine, perhaps, metaphorically. Oh, you've actually got splash of... You actually have a splash of wine. I'm on the Stella. I'm on the beers, lads. Darling.
Lads.
Mariah would never drink beer.
I'm having a festive splash, darling, you know? It's been a week and we need it.
We need it. We absolutely need it. We are sort of recording this in the middle of the week-ish. It's not quite Friday, but you and I, JB, we've had a very intense few weeks with work. And, you know, every time we do this podcast, it's our little bit of escapism, our bit of pop joy. And we love seeing how you guys enjoy it as well. And it's a bit of a relief for you during the week or, you know, on your commutes and whatnot. So thank you so much for listening and joining us.
And most importantly, a time for us to hang out, David, and chat about what we love most, and that is pop music, and that is our pop girlies. And what a pop girlie we are going to get into today, the pop girlie. But before all that, David, please can you read a lovely 5-star review?
Absolutely. You guys know the drill now. This is what, episode 71 or something? So... you know, we're a little podcast. We're recording in our bedrooms, editing it at home. So we really appreciate all the support you can give us by leaving a lovely 5-star review on Apple, because those types of things help with the visibility and I don't know, all the kind of algorithm shit. So we want to thank you again and again and again for doing that for us. And JB, this one, oh my God, could not be a more appropriate user for this episode. The username is Lashes For You.
Brilliant.
Come on with the promo code.
Absolutely brilliant.
You know, for this very glam Mariah episode. I love it. Lashes For You said, on the one hand, I'm sad that I only discovered this podcast in 2023. But on the other hand, I'm in pop heaven, having so many episodes to binge on. It's pure joy listening to the celebration of amazing pop artists and all the underrated and sometimes obscure bangers that these two fabulous podcasters celebrate. The JB and David Limmy are so hilarious together. So many of us can identify with their tales of pop fandom and imaginary pop careers too.
What?
Imaginary? Excuse me? Thanks for brightening up our days. Long may the podcast continue. Thank you so much, Lashes For You.
Thank you, Lashes For You. I wonder which Girls Aloud lashes you have. If you are enjoying what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review, hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Right, Davo, they've read the episode name. They know what we're here for. Before we get into today's episode and incredible monumental moment in 2000s pop music, please can you give us a little recap of the artist and where we're at and what we're doing today?
Listen, guys, if you've been listening to Right Back At You for a time, you know that I am a bit of a lamb. I love Mariah Carey. And the dynamics between the JB and myself is that he would say that he is a lamb in training.
I am just your mere lamb in training, David. And you, our resident lamb, the oracle.
Did you say I was like your lamb manager or something? Like line manager? I remember you saying that. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. You know, we got KPIs here, JB. There'll be a quiz and performance review at the end of this episode.
If we do another one, I might not be on it. We'll see
how he fares, guys. I mean, any lambs in training out there, you're on the spot as well. So yes, we are celebrating Mariah Carey, one of the world's best-selling artists of all time, with over 220 million records sold worldwide. Mariah is iconic, and I could talk about Mariah anytime, all the time. Like, I am such a huge fan, but you know what, JB? We, as a 2000s pop music podcast, we've done Glitter because I thought that was a good way to for us to start, right? Mm-hmm. And we did our Glitter episode, I think, a few years ago. Or was it just last year? I can't remember now. Time flies.
It was a little while ago because it was before the Mariah tour, wasn't it?
Oh, did we do it? Yeah, did we do it before we saw her at Caution? So you see, Joel and I, as a lamb in training, he's really put in the hard work. He's actually been to see Mariah with me twice. Right? Yeah. So I think you've earned your lammyship.
No, when I'm like off book with deep cuts, then I will. I'm an aware lamb in training.
And you've got a few of the vinyls.
I have. I've got Number Ones. I've got Number Ones to Infinity. I've got Rainbow. I've got The Debut, which is just self-titled, is it? Alex has got Caution, but I can just...
Yeah, you can claim that. It's in the house, yeah.
And I think that's it, but I definitely want to get the rest. I do intend on completing the collection.
Well, maybe The Emancipation of Mimi, which is the album we're talking about today, can be next for you. I certainly have that one on vinyl. Stunning.
Yeah, I mean, that is a one to have on vinyl. So yeah, it's definitely going to be a soon purchase. Absolutely.
This is Mariah's 10th studio album, and I would say one of her most important albums in her discography thus far. You mentioned the debut album, very seminal, that has Vision of Love on it, but also like 1997's Butterfly album was really crucial for Mariah, and also 95's Daydream, which has Fantasy, that hit single on it, and also just signaled a shift in Mariah's artistry. If you listen to our Glitter episode, you know that things were left off on a bit of an awkward place for our diva at the end of that era. Just to say, she did have a comeback album straight after that, Charm Bracelet, which is a real fan favorite and a personal favorite of mine as well. But that one didn't quite catch on in the way that we thought a real comeback should be. Whereas this one, The Emancipation of Mimi, like the whole world felt it. The one kind of real glimmer of hope coming out of that Glitter Charm Bracelet era was that at the end of Charm Bracelet, she had a collaboration with Busta Rhymes and the Flip Mode Squad, I Know What You Want.
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. As long as you want, you know I got it.
Baby,
now, David, that was a bona fide hit. And that is something that I was actually surprised. I didn't really, you know, when we talk about it, of those, there are those songs you know from the time that you necessarily don't think about again. You always know them. The minute you hear it, it's ingrained in you. You know the song. But in preparation for this episode, I saw that and I was like, that's Mariah Carey. I just never put the two and two together. I didn't know that was Our MC on that track.
I think you find a lot of people didn't know that was Mariah, because at that time in the press, you know, people think of Mariah in a certain way. They don't really expect for her to jump on another person's song just to sing the hook or a little bit of the bridge. But that was such a gift for Mariah, because as much as I love Charm Bracelet, the album, and I could, you know, really talk about it all day, there weren't radio hits on that. And then suddenly this song was so big on the radio. So I remember being at school and people would be like, who's that singer? I was like, that's Mariah, who you were just slagging off yesterday. And I felt a little bit of vindication. As a lamb, I felt a little bit like, yeah, the girl's back on the radio. You know what I mean? It felt good.
Today, we have The Emancipation of JB and The Vindication of DL.
The Vindication of Limmy.
Do you think this album would have happened in the way that we have it if it wasn't for that collaboration?
I think Mariah always wanted to do something more cool. I don't think she necessarily agreed with all the singles from Charm Bracelet. Like, she had a track with Jay-Z on that album that she wanted as a single. In 2004, there were rumblings of new recordings. There was some leakage on the internet. couple of the tracks that will end up on the album, like To The Floor and Say Something, leaked on the interwebs. And people were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. She's coming back with hot records.
Absolutely. So she wrapped up the Charm Bracelet World Tour in 2004 and started working on a new album. And originally, right, Davo, allegedly, Stay the Night was planned to be the Emancipation of Mimi's lead single, with it due to be out in October 2004. But then a few weeks later, it was removed from the schedule. And then I think we'll see a lot of songs we'll talk about today were at one point or another going to be the lead single. But yeah, thank goodness. Not that that's not a fabulous song, and we'll get there, but thank goodness we got a different lead single, because it took what was about to come to launch the Emancipation of Mimi.
I think L.A. Reid, who was the head of Mariah's label at this point, really could see where she was going with the sessions. Like, he could hear the songs and was kind of like, you're in the right direction, but you haven't quite got that song yet. And, you know, the vibe was that it's no more pity party, no more ballads, no more Oprah specials, woe is me. Mariah's just going to come back with the heat, you know? She is probably young, single, and sexy at this point. I feel like this is in her flirty, sexy single phase. That's why the songs are so, like, you know what I mean? Single and ready to mingle.
Yeah, absolutely. Girls' night out. I actually just want to thank you first and foremost, David. I know we've not even got into it yet, but I wouldn't have like dived into this album if it wasn't for you and for pushing us into this or continuing the Mariah journey. I just needed a little nudge into it. And then it's just such a beautiful introduction to an album that I hadn't listened to as a full body of work, but also such a nice reminder of, which I think I've spoken about or said in passing recently, of like that fun, accessible pop R&B era that we really had at this time, where it's so nice to have the reminder of like how joyful.
Yeah. And how big this is. These songs were. Yeah.
And I'm an Essex boy. These songs were big.
What I really enjoyed looking back is that Mariah made an official announcement in November 2004, a few months before the first single of this era even started. She revealed on the website that the album's going to be called The Emancipation of Mimi. And she felt the need to explain, like, you know, the nickname Mimi is one that's used in Mariah's inner circle. That's what they call her. You know, she said, I'm celebrating that I've grown into a person and artist who no longer feels imprisoned by my insecurities. I can now honestly say this is me, the real me. Take it or leave it.
And we'll take it.
Now, JB, are you ready to get into the first single of this era?
I was born ready.
He came to have a party. Open up that Bacardi.
We are here, David Lim. We are in January 2005. And what a way to kick off a year. It's like that. There are plenty of other songs on this album. We're going to see the single after this is going to be the biggest song of the album and one of the biggest songs of her career. But I think it takes this song to really launch what you're doing. It needs to launch that it's fun, like you were saying, to a non-Lamb. You think, wow, I didn't see this coming. Like, it felt really different to our other stuff.
That is definitely the reaction with this song, you know. We've not really had a clubby Mariah record before. Like, you think about it, with her lead singles, Heartbreaker was a fun pop record. I wouldn't necessarily call it a clubby record. And then Fantasy, obviously, with the hip-hop kind of collaboration, it had its own aesthetic and its own sound. But this is purely for the clubs. Like, Mariah was kind of tapping into something that was happening in pop R&B at that time. And I'll be honest, my very first impression of this song when I first heard it, I was like, oh my God, she's listened to what Ciara is doing and is thinking, I'm going to do a better version of that. I'm going to give some really witty lyrics, but I'm going to keep it fun. I'm going to keep it light and breezy, because people expect Mariah to be belting remember, we've not even had Touch My Body yet. We're now in a time where we've had Touch My Body, we've had Obsessed. So we know that Mariah can do like really witty lyrics and sassy, fun bops. But It's Like That was kind of the first of that in Mariah's discography, right? And people were shook. They were shook. I remember hearing this on the radio and like, I think even my dad was like, Mariah Carey. I was like, the Mariah. Hero Mariah? Yeah, that's her.
No, absolutely not. No way. No. Visions of Love and this, not a chance.
Lyrically, I just love this so much. JB, how much do we love the lyrics? Them chickens is ash and I'm lotion.
I know this song, but it was taking, listening to it and being like, hang on a minute, what is that? So I had to Google it because I'll be honest, I wasn't really sure what it was. What were your thoughts on it?
The internet was all the rage at this point. I Googled.
Everyone's been on the internet.
She was being playful. She's just kind of saying those other chicks, those girls are ashy and I'm lotion. I'm the antithesis of ashy. I'm moisturized.
Glistening queen.
Glistening, gorgeous. But it's such a shady but also very witty way of putting it. With the artwork itself, I thought it was so deliberate in that way that we didn't expect for this song to be a Mariah song. They really kept Mariah very elusive on the cover, didn't they? You know,
an elusive chanteuse in a way.
An elusive chanteuse. The lamb in training is learning. We don't see Mariah's face on this.
Just the silhouette. Almost birthed sort of Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race with
that
look.
Oh, yeah, the silhouette, yeah.
And that could be race car stripes at the bottom.
Literally, yeah. But it also just looks like a very classic 70s record.
Yes, absolutely. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because this track is like a fresh 2000s slick R&B bop, but the whole album does have also like a classic 70s feel to it.
True.
But in a way that it's not retro, it's not pastiche, it's so fresh, but there is that classic soul to it.
You're a Tina Marie fan, so I know you know these things.
Even our Tina Marie got a reference in Mariah Carey's book.
Oh, she did, didn't she? What did she say? I can't remember now.
She said it was something along the lines about when she was being signed and I think people not sure what to do with her. You know, how silly it was then. And I mean, really, you know, hopefully we're moving past that if we haven't already. If they weren't sure about how to, I think, I might be really quoting this wrong, but something about, it's like, is she white, is she black? And she said they didn't want another Tina Marie thing. Because we know that Tina Marie is known as the Ivory Queen of Soul.
That's interesting, yeah.
But yes, would love to hear our MC take on some Tina Marie.
The song leaked online in early January just to create a little bit of buzz. And then literally after it leaked, it aired on Hot 97 in New York City, which is a really big radio station there. And then after that, 40 radio stations began playing the song. And that was how they created the buzz for it. It was coming out of New York. It was coming out of America. Mariah's back. It's kind of really old school in that way. I mean, this was 2005. So, you know, probably was the method that you do it then. But I thought it was so creative and innovative of a way to launch a big artist that everyone knows, but they didn't expect this way of leaking a track, creating a buzz from the ground up.
I mean, look, it's not too dissimilar, really, when you look back at the launch of This Groove and Let Your Head Go with Victoria Beckham.
Literally.
Released at the end of December.
I was thinking that,
to then go out. I mean, and that was before this. So, I mean, really, the VB invented the MC.
Shall we talk about the music video? Because this was hot.
We're going to get part one of a two-part story here in a music video that really is coming back with confidence because they're like, this is going to be hot. It's going to be successful and we're committing to what part two is going to be. There's no room for will it work? How will it be perceived? How will it go down? Will it do well? No, we're committing to this two-part story. So it's directed by Brett Ratner and it is kind of quite biographical in a way. It shows her kind of living in this mansion with her older partner and he's watching from afar at this party. So she's having a party in her house, a kind of masquerade ball in a way, if you will.
Gorgeous.
And He's watching from upstairs via video cameras, not joining in on the fun, played by Eric Roberts, shall we say.
Quite a hot daddy.
Julia Roberts' brother, Emma Roberts' really? Father.
Oh, no, really? I didn't know that.
Emma Roberts' actual daddy. And I love just sort of the doors opening, her walking through, a moment that we can see repeated on live performances, a fantastic visual.
The long blonde hair that was kind of like swept to a side, like a side pony. I adored that. Also, I love this masquerade party idea, you know, with all the dancers in the suits and everything. It kind of looked like a BAFTAs after party.
There's also so much fun to it. Like, you've got her in the bathroom with the girls and sort of just like the click moment, which is so much fun.
And the wind machine in the boudoir and the hair going up. Even though it's a clubby record, they could not put Mariah Carey in a club for this video because no one would believe Mariah would go to a grimy nightclub. But if you say like a swanky Beverly Hills mansion house party.
Yeah. A grand maison.
Yeah, that is within Mariah's world. Like, you can imagine that.
Absolutely. And then even at the end, she's having fun with, like, the guy sort of, like, grinding up on her and she's like, whatever.
Pushing him away.
Like, all that is just saying, you know,
like...
Get
the fuck out of my face. I love that.
But there's obviously the huge plot point of this video. So there's right at the end of the video, there is a party guest taking off his mask, revealing to be an ex-lover of Mariah.
How'd your ass get past security?
Well, it was the masquerade ball. Don't forget, David, okay, TV and film, once a little mask is on you, literally no bigger than my glasses, no idea who you are. We've seen Hannah Montana, just a wig. No one will know who you are. And we go with it. So it's her ex-lover... played by Prison Break's Wentworth Miller. He's part of the community, so thank you, Wentworth.
He is part of the community, hello.
And as I will always remember, there is a written line from one of our greatest British authors, Katie Price. And
I can't believe she's made it into this episode.
She wrote in one of her fictional novels, "He looked like Wentworth Miller from Prison Break, only fitter." Sometimes you read something in literature, David Lim, and it just stays with you. You're like, oh, you're like, what? That is a very astute piece of writing, Katie.
It's a poetry of the Poicy.
Yeah. Now that is a book I want. Poetry of the Poicy, coming to Weatherspoons, not Waterstones. So shall we talk about chart positions for this song? In the UK, David, this gave Al Mariah a highest charting single in the UK since her duet with Thou Who Shall Not Be Named, Westlife, in the UK. So it came in here at number 4. And don't worry, Mark, we're not talking about you. You're a friend of Mariah Carey and the podcast and the community. We love you, Mark, so don't worry about that. And Keen, you're gorgeous. for someone that doesn't like Westlife, they get a lot of airtime on this podcast.
They sure do.
He's been watching it on Rage. He didn't pop down to Franklin's to get a copy, but it did chart at number 9 in Australia on the Arias, 15 on the Australia Club chart, number 3 on the Australian Urban chart. Hello. What was keeping it off 1 and 2 on the Australian Urban chart? That is what
Let's
I wonder.
Let's just say Guy Sebastian again.
Sebastian again. Maybe Paulini had a hit out that week, which we'll allow, obviously.
Yes. Young divas only.
Young divas only. Europe, European Hot 100, number 8, 16 in France, 14 in Germany, 12 in Greece, 11 in Ireland. Come on, guys. Wasn't up there with the Westlife song for you. 7 in Italy, 130 in Japan. What were you thinking?
Now, Japan's normally a very big market for Mariah. Maybe they were just confused by the single artwork. They didn't see her face.
That's where they went wrong, if anything, is just for Japan only, you do a new cover art.
Yeah, show the visage.
No, not Michelle.
Oh, that's who the silhouette was of, right? That is Michelle Visage's silhouette.
And in America, it got to number 16 on the US Billboard Hot 100, number one on the US Dance Club Songs for the David Morales remixes.
Iconic. I just love all the work that David Morales does with Mariah. You know, when Mariah does a remix, she usually, most of the time, gives new vocals, new melodies, a different vibe. The song is completely reimagined. And also her hip-hop remixes, which we'll talk about a little bit more.
Oh, she invented the pop crossover remix situation, as you've educated me on. So
well done, Lamb in training. So far so good. We're going for a high distinction.
So let's move on to David. We Belong Together, and We Belong Together really cemented this is forever. Mariah Carey is back. She's never going away again.
I remember the first time I heard this on the radio, I was like, oh, I know that's Mariah Carey because I recognize the tone, but I don't recognize the way she's singing. You know, there's almost like a real flow to it that is sort of like a rapper's flow in the verses. It's quite quick. It's quite slick. There's no room for real vocal acrobatics. She's just giving it to you straight, clean and simple. And the chorus is so universal, isn't it? It's so simple. When you left, I lost a part of me. It's still so hard to believe. Come back, baby, please, 'cause
we belong together.
The minute you hear it, you're like, okay, I get what this is about. And it's so easy to sing along to, isn't it?
And speaking of singing along to, David, this song was performed at Live 8 featuring cutaways of David and Victoria Beckham in the audience where the VB herself was singing along. I do feel like maybe it was a little bit of, you know, there's that infamous Mariah singing on Oprah and Oprah singing along, not quite knowing the words. I feel like that was also the same with the VB.
Did she not get all the lyrics necessarily?
She was singing along and then I think
she was singing watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. Yeah.
I mean, you've stood next to me for enough concerts. Like, I'll be singing Loud and Proud. God knows what I'm singing. But I do think it was a very clever move because we're going to see the monumental success of this. I think it would have just been a continue. I think it would have done well, but I don't think it would have done very well. Like, I don't think it would have been this comeback definitive. I think it would have just served adult contemporary and that's it.
Now, I think it would have done well, but I think what you're saying is that it's like that created the heat that was very necessary to kickstart a campaign, you know? And from there, she goes back to giving you a ballad. But this is nothing like a Mariah ballad that we're used to. I think the Lambs who love Breakdown and the more kind of, and Cry Baby, they can probably appreciate the more pared back, beat heavy ballads that Mariah do that isn't Hero. This is a radio friendly, very minimally produced bop. And, you know, we're waiting for the whistle notes as we normally do with Mariah songs. And she kind of gives it to you very faintly at the end. You got to really wait for it at the end. And the way she holds that really big note where she belts at the end.
The whistle note is amazing, don't get me wrong. But it's not something I need from a Mariah Carey song. Mariah is someone, she can do everything. But she doesn't need to do everything to be amazing.
Oh, JB, shall we talk about the amazing music video? Now, this was incredible.
Part two.
Part two, the sequel.
Not since Grease 2 has a sequel been this good. Now, this featured Mariah having her wedding to Daddy Eric. We've got Mariah in her actual wedding dress that she wore when she married our old friend, Tommy Mottola. And I mean, look, if you've got that in storage, what a perfect time to reuse it.
And such great press angle as well. Like, I'm sure her PR was like rubbing their palms together, being like, yes, here comes the iconic Vera Wang dress with that 27 feet train. Because we already knew the narrative was kind of like mirroring her marriage with Tommy in a way.
I think also a way of like, she's put it out there in the works. Do we even need to ask her? Listen to the music and watch the music video.
I love the quote around this music video, though, when she was just like, it's still worth it for me because I can't believe I was ever married, but whatever, end of story. I knew that we wouldn't be able to get a fabulous dress like that in 2 days, so I just took that dress out of storage. I figured we might as well get a use out of it. It was so camp.
I was watching her talk about this on Richard and Judy. I mean, with this era, she was out doing all the press. You know, she'll be on CD UK, somewhere where, like, you know, she was grafting to get the word out there for it. Didn't matter that it was already being a monumental success. She is on that promo for it.
Also, while we're here, and I cannot believe how many times Victoria Beckham has mentioned this episode already, but
I can.
There was a incredible 2005 Fashion Rocks event in Monaco.
Oh, yes.
Where Mariah was the headline performer. She did the club remix of We Belong Together in a metallic Versace gown with models strutting about her on stage. And that was the same event where we see that famous iconic photo of Mariah, Donatella and Victoria Beckham together. You know, VB was in that turquoise green plunging neckline dress.
Oh, I know the picture. So let's talk about this remix, David, while you've mentioned it.
We have club remixes of We Belong Together, which is great. But really, the kind of gem from the remixes side for me is the hip hop one with Jadakiss and Styles P, who are, you know, kind of New York rappers that is very in Mariah's world. And her kind of this is the kind of hip hop she listens to.
It's our time right now. More than ever. Till the death, we gonna get it on together. And MC, you know we belong together. Come on.
I loved it because we are so familiar with the melody of We Belong Together, and Mariah completely flips it over with the remix. It just felt really fresh. And I think at the time, this song was riding so high on the charts, and then suddenly this remix was issued and I was like, oh my God, this is going to extend the reign. Did you get to hear this remix?
David Lim, did I get to hear this song with the new added lyrics? I only think of you on two occasions. That's day and night.
Billy Piper reference.
That is better than Poetry with the Pricey right there. I only think of you on two occasions. That's day and night.
Every day and night.
Babe. That is, I mean, look, we're waiting for the Billy to play Mariah biopic, but this is the closest we'll get. But as far as added lyrics go, it's not going to get better than that. So, David, this song was a number one smash hit in America. It spent 14 non-consecutive weeks at number one on the US Billboard Hot 100. For the decade-end charts of the 2000s, it was the number one song on the Billboard charts. So US Billboard Hot 100, decade-end long charts 2000 to 2009, that is the number one song. That is absolutely phenomenal. They were feeling the love also in Australia, where it was number one on the ARIA charts. Here in the UK, David, it was in at number two.
What were you thinking, Joel?
I didn't buy it. I'm sorry. It was too, you know.
You had
two occasions
to get it. That's day and night.
Woolworths isn't open day and night, David. It's just open day. Number three in Spain. What were you thinking? Scotland, number three. Come on, that could have been. That has Scottish number one hit written all over it. And don't think I don't see you there, New Zealand. Number two as well. 25 in Ireland. They really did sort of tap out after the Westlife Oh, no, that's actually completely wrong. Number three in Ireland. All right, did pretty well there. Did better than the last single, so that's absolutely fantastic. And number four on the European Hot 100. Platinum in Australia, platinum in the UK, 6 times platinum in America. So that is absolutely phenomenal. Shall we continue the success of this incredible era, David, with the album in April 2005? Mariah is here. She's back. She's better than ever. She's giving us, as the golden goddess she is, according to the album cover, the Emancipation of Mimi.
Now, you've said it there, JB. Let's start with this iconic album cover. I could not believe my eyes the first time I saw this image. And I'm trying to think to myself, did I see it on the internet first or did I see it in stores first? Because either way, I was shook. Like, really shook when I saw this. First of all, I know Mariah's gorgeous, but this is a serve. The wind in the hair, the golden body with the gold dress. And it was just like, this album, I bought this on CD and it came with a poster in the inside the booklet. And that poster went straight up on my wall. And I'm not really a poster person.
Was it the poster that you had up on? Did you have a poster of Mariah on the wall when we lived together?
We did. And that was from We Love Pop Night. And it was a different image. Yes. That image on that poster is from the deluxe edition, not this image. Now this one is like, she's like a Golden Globe.
She is. I was going to say she's like a sexy Oscar.
The photography is by Marcus Klinko and Idrani. Marcus Klinko has shot for David Bowie, but also is behind the very iconic Beyoncé Dangerously in Love album cover. And also he did the Khalees Tasty album photo shoot where she's sitting on top of ice cream scoops.
There's a fabulous podcast that you put me onto, the Mariah Report. Mm. And they've done some fantastic episodes. I love those on two. This era. And they were saying about when they first saw this cover, they thought it looked like Beyonce, and now that's all I can see.
What an amazing handful of top tier producers that were involved here. So Mariah, first and foremost, is exec producer. Mariah has a producer credit on almost every song except for the ones the Neptunes do. She collaborated closely with Jermaine Dupri, as we mentioned before, but also Jonta Austin, who is signed to Jermaine's So So Def label and has worked with Aaliyah and Toni Braxton. James Poyser, who has worked with Erykah Badu, is on this album as well. Sonically, Mariah was here to give you rich live instruments, you know? It was kind of a little throwback to the 70s soul elements, and it felt classic, didn't it?
It was both classic and sort of pared back, as I think she said she didn't agree with some of all the bells and whistles she had on, you know, some of her earlier work. But it was so fresh and new and current at the same time. It didn't feel like a retro album, and we love that when we get that. Like, look at Emma Bunton's...
Oh yeah, Free Me, yeah. That is a great retro-leaning album.
We love that.
I kind of like that because at that time, you think about what was big, like 50 Cent was big at that time. A lot of rock music was big. So for Mariah to really throw it back to 70s music with like horns, with like strings, and also like dropping a few like club R&B beats, no one was kind of doing it in that really classy way, were they? JB, let's get into the Emancipation of Mimi. I want you to go first. Pick an album track that you're feeling.
All right. And this one might surprise you. I am gonna pick Circles.
Yes, Taste. Circles is a real fan favorite and I absolutely love it. It's written and produced by Mariah with James Wright. Again, tapping into the more kind of vintage 70s soul elements.
I love this track. And to me, right, this feels like classic Mariah Carey. if you were a lamb, like which I wasn't, I'm not saying I was.
You're more of a lamb than people would think, like listening to this episode. You definitely are like tier two or three of lammy shit.
There's going to be a review for you soon, and you might be considered.
You might be eligible for tier three lammy shit membership.
It's just like, and to me, I mean this as high praise as you know I would, but I think this could have been on the Glitter soundtrack.
I know what you're saying because it's so vivid in the storytelling. You know, she does this kind of star-crossed love ballad very well. You know, the woman who can't get over her ex and she's just spiraling. That's what this song is about. Saturday, I saw you holding hands with someone new. Somehow I kept my composure, just like everything was cool. But inside, I kept repeating, don't you let them see you cry. So I casually turned my head as the tears rolled down my eyes. Oh,
stunning.
Girl, she does those lyrics so well.
Davo, give us a track.
Okay, so I'm going to pick a favorite album track of mine now, and I'm going to go with Fly Like a Bird. I love a Mariah gospel moment.
One for your roots.
So I think ever since Charm Bracelet, the album with Mike Saving Grace, that's when I really tuned into Mariah's kind of more gospel-y songs. I must say that iconic 2006 Grammy performance where she did We Belong Together and then it segues to Fly Like a Bird forever just like gives me chills.
She performed this a lot back in the day, Grammys, Idol Gives Back. She still frequently performs this. So apparently it was on the Caution set list, but I don't recall her singing this when we saw her, do you? Maybe she just did it at select dates.
Yeah, maybe it was a select dates thing.
I mean, to be fair, we were about at least three bottles of wine in, so.
And I cried because, well, part...
And I cried.
Partly because of the wine, but also just overwhelmed seeing Mariah.
Oh, really overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm really happy forever that we got to share that experience.
Oh, one of
together.
The best nights ever. Me, you, and Mariah at the Royal Albert Hall.
I absolutely love this. And apparently there's a promo CD single version of this with dance remixes of Fly Like a Bird. You know, she's bringing church to the clubs. For me, it was always an album track. So maybe it was just kind of service to American radios.
Allegedly also, there's a single out there, or maybe it's a promo single, and the B-side on it is My Saving Grace from the Charm Bracelet album. So it's very interesting that you pair it that way. So a music video was planned for this song, but never happened, unfortunately.
What would you have liked to see in the video? Live doves?
Live doves, Stacey Orico, all white, cameo from God. David, I want to take us back to nearer the beginning of the album. The album kicks off with three hit singles, and then we have Mine Again.
Because my heart still believes, maybe you could be mine again. Maybe we could make that dream for real, like way back then, when love was yours.
Now, this wasn't released as a single, but it did peak at number 73 on Billboard's Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs. Due to sales. So we love that. Don't know how that happened, but fabulous. And it has this powerful 70s feel that we've said.
I mean, this is giving Mariah Carey Does the BBC Radio 2 Piano Lounge. You know, this is kind of like a late night jazz cafe performance. It's a really classy performance. Also, what's funny is seeing this song used in an Intel laptop commercial.
Brilliant.
I love it. Mariah sitting on some bloke's lap, belting this chorus, and that's meant to like convey that, oh yeah, the audio is like super crisp and super clear on this laptop. It's almost like Mariah Carey sitting on your lap singing.
If only the Sugar Babes Windows adverts were that good.
That level of budget is what we needed. I love Mine Again. Stunning. And also, shout out 2006 Grammys. Mine Again was nominated for Best Traditional R&B Performance. Like, this album ate. Every track was just giving something. So thank you for picking that track because I absolutely love it. I'm going to give a shout out to Stay the Night.
Oh.
Now, we briefly mentioned this before. This is co-written and co-produced by Kanye West, who brings this kind of vintage soul record vibe in, mixed with a bit of 90s hip hop flavor. There are a few songs in this album that is kind of flirty and suggestive, but this is giving kind of like a island holiday romance soundtrack. Mm. Don't you feel like it's kind of like you could be on a beach holiday and, you know, a little bit of rendezvous, you meet someone at the tiki bar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Da-da-da-da, stay the night.
I'm in room 205.
Hotel ad that Mariah did a few years ago. Do you remember Hostel World?
Yeah.
Hostel World. Do you remember that advert where she stayed at hostels? That could have been Stay the Night, the Hostel World commercial remix.
All this stuff really does something for me that I don't really outwardly project that is such a thing for me. So I am just, again, so thankful for the intro to this. Of, believe it or not, people wouldn't believe it, but this is just so right up my street.
Mariah does the kind of longing kind of songwriting very well. That lyric in this song is that it's hard when it comes to you and I'm feeling vulnerable tonight because I don't want to miss the chance of reliving our sweet romance. Boy, I'm so confused down deep inside. Like, again, like, just Mariah, she just, these lyrics.
All right then, David, I know you want to move along. I've got to speak for my Essex girlies.
Right.
If I wouldn't be JB from Romford.
Okay, go on.
And our girl Mariah gave us a lovely UK bonus track called Sprung.
Stop it.
And I think that is something you could hear on Kiss FM. And I think that is one for the R&B girls. Get it on in time and envy. Get it on down, Brannigan's girls. We are going to have a good time with it.
Maybe we get a Big Brothers remix.
Yeah, get the Big Brothers on it. It was for the Romford girlies. Maybe a few Kent girlies out there as well. Hello, girls.
Now, I must ask you, is Mariah a Kent girl or is she an Essex girl?
Oh, no.
Which girl, David, is Mariah?
What a question. Oh my God, I didn't see that coming at all. So we all know that Christina Aguilera is a Kent girl, full stop.
Ricky Lee is a Kent girl.
Ricky Lee is a Kent girl. We know this. This is canon. Oh, you've got me here. Now, I think maybe...
Is Mariah at the Sugar Hut? Like, where
is... Sugar Hut. That's the one I was looking for earlier. Sprung would have definitely made it to the old Sugar Hut, where, you know, people like me went to Sugar Hut before it was on the telly. But I've actually really enjoyed tapping into my Essex roots recently, if everyone would be happy to know. But Mariah Carey is...
She's a bit of the GC. I'm not trying to sway you, but...
I do think she's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I have a school chum who's exceptionally talented and is a big fan of the MC and was a Kent girlie that then moved to Essex. And I see a lot of parallels with the Mariah Carey on that.
With the MC?
So I think... The MC, in her UK equivalent, would have spent the sort of first 10 to 12, 13 years of her life in Kent.
Yeah.
But it was then when she moved to Essex that she really acclimatised. and she became her own.
She became the MC.
That's when Mariah became the MC. Going out in Essex, in Brentwood, loving it. Still popping to Lakeside, but still popping in the car and going back that way to Blue Water to get a couple of bits. And that would have been the MC, very multicultural in that way. Both Kent and Essex, both are home to her. She'd pop down to Cambridge and not feel out of place.
No, I'm glad we got to this on the episode. This is the most important part of this entire episode.
You know, London wouldn't feel out of place. Cambridge wouldn't feel out of place because she's a Kent and an Essex girl. So she could go Surrey, wouldn't feel out of place, you know?
Okay, JB, I'm going to give a shout out to one more album track. And this is, sorry guys, this feels very ballad heavy at the moment. It's only because we'll get to singles in a sec. I Wish You Knew.
That's the situation that I'm talking about right now. And if you feel me, sing a song.
I love with I Wish You Knew that Mariah was bringing a bit of a live concert recording sound to it. Because I almost for a second thought, did she record this live? And then I thought, when would she have performed this live?
Exactly. It's not live from the Charm Bracelet tour, no. Because, yeah, I was listening to this in the shower. Or I listened to this in the shower a lot in the build-up to this. But the first time, I'm in the shower and I'm like, have we got to the end of the album already and we're at like a live bonus track?
Yeah. And it kind of feels like she's addressing a stadium audience, but it's very intimate. It's very privé. Here we are again with Mariah with the longing lyrics. I wish you knew how I feel for you. Again, with the hidden meanings and the kind of like what you see on the outside is not necessarily what she's feeling on the inside. Mariah writes those songs really, really well.
That she does.
Now, that spoken word bridge, the first time I heard it coming out of my stereo at home, I thought it was Alicia Keys. That raspy tone, I was like, is that Mariah talking or is that what is going on here?
For her, as a vocalist, like, she'll give you that live concert moment, whether it's a live concert or not. Off the top of your head, has she done that on any other albums that you can recall?
The only time I kind of feel maybe she's done something similar or in the vein of was the single I Still Believe. Because that to me sounds like a very live vocal. You know, there's a bit of reverb on it. But no, I really appreciate this effort.
And isn't I Still Believe a cover of the woman that she was a backing singer
for? It was. Yeah, a classic. Yeah. Look, JB, we might as well say it now. We don't need the KPIs. We don't need to test at the end of it. You're a tier three lamb at this stage. Like, come collect your lamb pizza badge.
I've still got my overpriced keyring and little mirror somewhere and makeup bag that we got from the concert.
Not the makeup bag from the Caution tour. I mean, that was, not worthy, but still.
The seats were, though. So if they want to give us a makeup bag, then that's fab.
I love it. JB, let's get back to this album, The Emancipation of Mimi. Now, God, the album chart positions for this is insane. It became Mariah's highest-selling album in the US since Daydream in 1995. In its first week of release, it debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 with 404,000 copies sold, the highest first week sales in her career ever until the following album, E equals MC Squared, a few years later. Emancipation of Mimi was the best-selling album in the US in 2005 with nearly 5 million units sold. Now that is really huge. That's big for the MC.
Phenomenal. It was the first album by a solo female artist to become the year's best-selling album since Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill.
Wow.
And it has been certified 7 times platinum in America. Number 6 in Australia. I would say, what were you thinking, David? But here in the UK, it went in at number 7. So we love and respect that for both territories and countries.
Not enough Kent girlies went out to get it.
No, that was the downfall. Not a Blue Water signing. If we'd done a little Blue Water album signing, we'd have got a top 5 there, Mariah. Next time. Maybe an appearance at the Sugar Hut, just to plug a couple more tracks. A PA, if you will. But all is not lost, because it was number one on the Greek album charts. Number 18 in Ireland. Come on, guys. She should have slapped on a Westlife bonus track. We Belong Together, featuring Mark from Westlife.
Only Mark. He's earned his Lammyship.
Number 31 in Scotland. Now, that's really disappointing.
Should have had Michelle McManus on the bonus track.
Oh, yeah. Number 4 on the European Top 100. Number 2 on the Danish charts. Number 2 on the Canadian charts.
JB, we must say The Emancipation of Mimi earned 10 Grammy Award nominations between 2006 to 2007, 8 in 2006 for the original release, which was the most amount of Grammy nominations Mariah's ever received in a single year. And she got 2 Grammy nominations in 2007 for the Ultra Platinum Edition. Now, in 2006, she won Best Contemporary R&B Album. And she won Best Female R&B Vocal Performance and Best R&B Song for We Belong Together. She was nominated for Album of the Year. She was nominated for Record of the Year for We Belong Together. And Song of the Year for We Belong Together. And Best Female Pop Vocal Performance for It's Like That. And Best Traditional R&B Vocal Performance for Mine Again. So there was a lot going on there for Mariah. It felt like, you know how Beyonce this year was like Grammy darling? We thought she was really going to clean up. And she didn't quite clean up in the major categories. I think this was that year for Mariah. And I think us lambs felt really hard done by.
So you fucking should.
I don't know what else I need to do for the Grammys to give me my flowers. If it's not this year with this album, with this era.
Sodja.
I'm going to Sugar Hut.
Let's move on, because I'm going to get angry. Anyway, what I've got to do is I've got to shake that off. So let's get to an incredible moment for the album. At one point or another, it was going to be the lead single of the album, which I can't quite believe. We're going to go to summer 2005 with Shake It Off, the third single in America, and a double A side across Europe. I think it's a perfect third single.
I think it's a perfect third single as well. But I don't know if it's because I'm so used to the formula of how it is. You know, this is Mariah's personal favorite. Save this recording because I'm never coming back home. Okay, we need to talk about that flow, because it doesn't sound like a Mariah flow, right? It sounds like something you'd hear like Flo Rida do, maybe.
Yeah, but I love that.
The remix has Jay-Z on it, and I love the remix. But the single version is just Mariah, and I don't know. I feel like it needs a rapper for the main single.
She's not a band. She's not Talisa with N-Dubs. She's the say.
Now, what do you think about the music video? This was directed by one of your fave and my faves, Jake Narva, who did Beyonce's Crazy in Love. It was a lot going on.
Oh, I loved it. This features Mariah in many extravagant wardrobe changes. I love the bathtub.
Like, oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely
with the rose
beautiful.
Petals and the bubbles. I was like, lush. That is Mariah giving the advert for the W Hotel there. Stay the night.
Well, then while she's in the W Hotel, she's got to try the conference room so she can turn around on the table with the telephone. It's almost like it reminded me back of like when she did the performances of Last Night a DJ Saved My Life in the glitter era with the telephone.
Iconic. She loves a vintage telephone, don't we all?
And then there's that little bit with the two little girls on the telephone boxes.
Yeah, shaking their hips.
When Mariah's walking past, I was like, that's me and you.
Yeah, that is
when
us.
When Mariah's walking past.
Also, I love that bit where she was kind of on the bleachers with the hooped earrings, the tank top, yeah, the cargo trousers and the cap. I was like,
now that's kink girl.
Okay, thank you. The Kent girl jumped out there, MC. This music video was nominated for an MTV Video Music Award in 2006 for Best R&B Video. You know what? This song really got a buzz on TRL because this was the time of MTV's TRL and it was so heavily requested. It had over 500,000 requests in the first 24 hours. I mean, this was a time pre-YouTube. That's how you were going to see your music videos, guys. You got to get on TRL.
Chart positions for this, David. So clearly, heavy rotation on Rage, number 6 in Australia, number 1 in Canada, 31 on the European Hot 100, 15 in Ireland alongside with Get Your Number, 24 in Scotland, what were you thinking, with Get Your Number, number 9 in the UK, again with Get Your Number, but number 2 on the UK Hip Hop R&B, and then in America, number 2 on the Hot Billboard Hot 100. Now, what's really interesting, David, is that it was number 2 under We Belong Together.
What a time. Mariah was battling herself.
It was like Mariah v. Bianca all over again.
Literally, I was just beside myself. I couldn't believe it. I remember at the time opening the Herald Sun newspaper where they had the US, UK and Australian charts. And I was like, oh my God, Shake It Off is doing its thing. Wow.
So let's move on, David, to the fourth single, Get Your Number, which in some territories was a double A side with Shake It Off.
Same single artwork. We see that gorgeous little short red dress with the tassels, just with Get Your Number on it. Now, JB, what I love about this bop is it's got the ooh, 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 from British band Imagination's Just an Illusion. We are again in a sexy, flirty club banger from Mariah. I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like we needed this single. I think because Shake It Off was so fun, It's Like That was so fun. This is a little bit forgotten for me. What do you think?
I tell you what we did need, David Lim. Clocking on, you instantly love, well, I instantly love the colour palette for this music video. You've got the blues, you've got the purples, and then you've got that yellow dress.
That latex dress.
It's all very 90s, but brought forward in a sexy 2000s way. You don't watch it for then and think this is dated, but it's brought it in and modernised it, that colour palette, that look, that latex kind of stuff. And then to top it all off, that huge red phone. Yeah. Wow.
It's called Get Your Number. She needs a giant telephone. And we already know Mariah loves a vintage telephone. It's so funny at the start of this episode, I was like, oh, you couldn't really see Mariah in a club. That's why it's like that set like in a privé mansion. And here she
gets
is.
A single foot.
And here she is. She's ready for the club. I mean, even then, she's not like in the scrum, you know? She's in VIP.
Yeah, she's not doing the local PAs yet. She's just having a couple of drinks in the VIP booth.
And I also love that shot of her on the couch with the side ponytail. God, she loved a side ponytail in this era. Stunning with the legs out and that kind of suit jacket. This is the most fantastic video we're going to get out of this era. Lyrically, Mariah said, look, this song is written in a female perspective. And Mariah joked, Jermaine Dupri really wanted it coming from the girl, where it's like, oh, can I get your number to the guy? And she's like, in all honesty, that would never be me.
No, that's not the MC style. So this was a number 19 hit in Australia, David.
Okay.
So ring-a-ding-ding, UK singles downloads charts entered the chat. Number 18, number 10 in the Netherlands and 7 in the Netherlands, respectively, on their two charts. So let's move on to October 2005. Don't Forget About Us.
Now, JB, this is separate. It is new. L.A. Reid heard an early sketching of this song that Mariah was working on with Jermaine Dupri and she didn't get to finish it. And he was kind of like, this is good. This should be finished and it should be the lead single of the reissue of the album. And at this point, the album had already sold 4 million copies in America alone. And I don't think Mariah was necessarily thinking about doing a reissue. That was all the rage. This was a time where people were doing that. And the album was so successful. So I think it made sense for her to continue it. And this Don't Forget About Us is a natural sister to We Belong Together.
And don't forget about me.
I've got the, it does sound so similar to We Belong Together, but is that a bad thing?
Something successful, you want to ride it a little bit longer. And I totally get it. Like, she kind of had this song sitting in the vaults.
And if you've got a song that sounds in the same vein of something, you're much better, yeah, to do it in the re-release than if you did it on the next album, people would be like, you're rehashing something.
Whereas, literally,
you know, a re-release is a rehash, so...
This was the lead single on the ultra platinum edition of The Emancipation of Mimi, which has a few new songs, but mostly it's all about Don't Forget About Us. This music video was filmed in LA. She was reunited with Paul Hunter, who did her Honey music video in 97. And also, I believe he also did the first video of this album, Campaign. My most enduring memory of this, I don't know why, is that scene of her with the foot in the football goalpost.
This music video, David Lim, was so gorgeous. You've got the MC sexy in the flat, sexy in the pool. I have never seen this done this way. You've got like a gorgeous tan and brown color palette. Those are color palettes that are not really seen in a music video. I've not seen done so beautifully this way. It's like they've taken an ugly long gypsy skirt from the early 2000s, you know, something that you'd have seen Girls Aloud wear straight off Pop Stars The Rivals, you know, that kind of look.
Something you would have seen on the Charm Bracelet album promo, yes.
And then they've taken, I've seen the Charm Bracelet promo out cut images, they're gorgeous, but they've taken
some, like,
that
dodgy gypsy skirts in there that's from like Next.
And they've turned it into this exquisite colour palette. The lyrics, she'll never be MC, but I'll never be MC.
Oh my God. Yes, that is so iconic. Now, is that Kent girl energy or Essex girl energy? She'll never be MC.
I think we'll go with Essex girly. So this became Mariah Carey's 17th chart-topping single in the US.
A number one smash. L.A. Reid was right, you know, get it out at this point where it's like the world is kind of hungry for a part two of We Belong Together.
You know, Uncle L.A. knew what he was doing. This tied Al Mariah with the most U.S. number one singles with Elvis Presley himself at this time. In England, number 11, that's two number ones put together. To create 11.
JP, the lengths you would go to escape being told off.
Well, yeah, I'm going to, David, because in Australia, number 12, so...
That is a number one and number two, occupying top two positions, thank you.
Number two in Canada, 38 on the European Hot 100. What did you do in Ireland? 25, okay. And 20 in Scotland. I just want to point out, now that we're so intertwined with my Kent and Essex girlies, David, there was another track on the platinum, ultra platinum edition re-release that we have to just quickly talk about. Making It Last All Night, What It Do, featuring Jermaine Dupri. Now, David Lim, this song is like the start of the night. It's your first drink at the club and you are getting ready to go all night long with the girls.
I love this. This is a party record. This is a vibe. This is a mood. And you know what? To be honest, I really didn't pay attention that much to the reissue. I loved Don't Forget About Us. And I went out to buy that CD single because it wasn't part of the main album that I bought. But for me, I loved the So Lonely remix with Mariah. And I've always loved that one and only song on the album. And just to hear it in a different iteration was like everything for me. But yeah, maybe I missed out on this Essex anthem.
See, that So Lonely track is also really lovely. To me, I'm like that invented Rihanna. Oh. Thank you, Dark Child, for this track. And I think this is the sort of track that Nicole Scherzinger needs in her discography. You know, I like the way you put it on, man. It's the East Coast queen and the Midwest mob. I'll shout it, I'ma never leave you alone. I wish that we could blow up the speakers. I will say on the re-release tracks, that 70s soul vibe has gone away on the newer tracks and it's just all new. It's all new, new, new.
It's very like 2005, 2006 now, which partly for me personally was why I kind of rejected it a little, because I felt like the original iteration, it tied in very perfectly together. Apart from Don't Forget About Us, which obviously fits within the universe. And I do love the So Lonely remix. But the rest of it, I was kind of like, okay, it's nice to have as a B-side.
I think it was clever, though, because you think it's had so many huge singles. So it's clearly caught everyone, but it's still going to have stragglers on the outside that have heard these big singles and not bought the album.
So Jolie B, look, we've had a really fun ride dissecting the Emancipation of Mimi, but we need to get to the final single now. We are in April 2006 with Say Something. Most girls play shy. It won't hurt until you give it a try. I know you like my smile, dig my stack, big, bow, wow. But if it's worth your while, say something, say something.
If it's worth your while, say something. Now, Snoop Dogg, he's here. And do you know what his next single was after this?
Buttons by Pussycat Dolls.
Buttons by Pussycat Dolls. What a string.
Iconic feature creature.
1-2 hit with a gaze. Come on.
What I love about this is, first of all, let's talk about the single artwork with the denim hat. Is it a denim hat? It looks like it's a blue hat that really matches.
So she's got a denim jacket on, and then I would go as far as to say that's just a blue... I was going to say blue trilby, but under looking closely, and it does get a bit pixelated when I zoom in, I would say that is a denim hat. I've never seen anything like that before.
And we've not seen Mariah really in denim in this era, because that's like a different vibe. You know, it's very high glamour. So I was very shocked when I saw this as the single cover. But I love Pharrell, love the Neptunes. I'm familiar with that production. It's very distinct because it does stand out very much from the rest of the album. Like, I think it's kind of a nice way to wrap up the era.
I think it's interesting of a lot of these songs are definitely the fresher side, whereas it then takes the album to get more like the soul vibes of everything.
And at this time, it was alleged that Fly Like a Bird was also serviced to urban radios, urban AC and gospel radio stations. So I think in America, they were getting Fly Like a Bird and possibly Say Something as well. But in international markets, like in Australia, we got Say Something.
I mean, let's talk about this music video. We have this gorgeous, fabulous Parisian music video. It's directed by Paul Hunter, and we've got Mariah Carey, Snoop Doggy Dogg, we've got Pharrell Williams, and then we have a cameo from Vogue editor Andre Leon Talley.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. who I knew from his cameos on The Hills.
What was really signature to me in memory of this was the kind of Louis Vuitton outfits and very Louis Vuitton centric, you know, the Champs-Élysées. It's very like kind of Mariah Takes Paris Fashion Week kind of vibe. And I love that for her. You know, we've seen her in the clubs. We've seen her in a posh mansion having a good time, or like running off with some bloke at her wedding. But we've not seen like a kind of a more fashion side to this. So this was really playful and really fun for Mariah to do a video like this. And again, the hair is stunning. We're going with the dead straight hair again. Very signature of this era. It's giving like a European flavor, darling.
And look, an Essex girlie is allowed to hop on the Eurostar.
In recent months, I'm really getting into the David Morales remix of Say Something. Now, this is on my Club Mariah playlist again, and this gives a whole different experience, you know, because this song in itself is so cool and so laid back and it's chilled and it's very like icy vocals. But the remix, Mariah's bringing like gospel vibes, like she's really belting like, say it, say it, say it, say something, say it. And I always love it when Mariah does it, like big soulful vocals on 90s house beats. That's what she was bringing on this remix. So I highly recommend for everyone to go check it out.
You've got to send me this club playlist, Avo.
I have a club remix one and I've got a hip hop remix one.
Which wow, is like, and he didn't send me either, ladies, gents, and
sorry, JB,
friends.
You know.
I'm just a mere lamb in training. How am I meant to train?
You're tier three, babes. You got your lamb pizza badge now.
Your lamb pizza badge. You're at the place where you're ready for independent learning, so you should have figured it out for yourself. It's like when you're finally ready to go, you know, when you are like ready for your assessment, you go and visit Mariah as her character in Precious.
You're going to have to talk to somebody if you want your check, sweetie.
She'll give you a stamp if you're ready to go, upper tier, and if not, she'll kick you out of there.
What were the chart positions for Say Something?
26 in Australia, 7 on the Australian Urban Charts, 60 on the European Hot 100 singles, 23 in Ireland, right? But 27 in the UK.
I think people may have forgotten about this. May have gone amiss.
And it's not on the Scotland charts.
Shade. I blame Nicola Sturgeon.
Welcome to Politics Hour. I'm right back at you.
Again.
And 79 in America. But what a fantastic way to see out an amazing album, if not with a new way to take on double denim, hat and jacket. I need a denim hat.
Yeah. So JB, look, very successful era for the MSU, as we've been saying, July to October 2006, she embarked on the Adventures of Mimi tour. Now, she initially probably didn't want to tour this album. You look, the promo for it.
She didn't fancy it.
The promo was so long. She's been all around the globe promoting this. The last thing she really needed was a tour, but I think the fans needed the tour, so I think she relented. And this is a 40-date tour, mostly in the US and Canada, with a few dates in Japan and two very random dates in Tunisia. There's a resulting DVD, which was released the following year. And JB, before we leave it completely with this episode, we should give a shout out to the Pepsi commercial. Time of your life, right?
Only Mariah Carey can do a fabulous Pepsi advert and then give you an exclusive body of work that is purely brand new material that is Pepsi ringtones.
Yeah.
That is some of her best work ever.
It is so fun, this commercial. She comes down a slide. It's very camp.
Oh, love a slide. And she's on a motorbike again, like a little bit Loverboy reference there.
This song is a bop. It kind of does feel like a B-side from like an Emancipation of Mimi era. But what is really, truly great is the Gimme More mashup, isn't it?
I mean, where did this come from?
Which gay thought about this? Because this is like, this is amazing. And also like the person who uploaded it did a whole music video for it where it was kind of like edited the Pepsi commercial, but also with like Mariah's other music videos. So we got elements of like Get Your Number in this, and it looked like a real music video. Like it had me fooled for a second. To hear this at GAY, don't we?
Get it on in the R and B room, get it on in the pop room, get it on in the main room, get it on everywhere. But David, look, she released a whole album's worth of content that was just ringtones. That is iconic. Written, produced by Mariah Carey. Whole new album. It's on YouTube. Go and listen to it, girls. We need to figure out how to get those ringtones on our modern day telephones.
get that on Spotify, girlies. I mean, everyone's all about the shorter songs nowadays anyway.
I mean, she invented current times.
Yeah.
Those all need a TikTok resurgence. But on that note, that is a wrap for us on this incredible era and album of The Voice.
The diva.
The MC, the girly that crosses the bridge between Essex and Kent. You have been listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. Please hit that subscribe button. Leave us a lovely 5-star review. Tell your pop loving friends. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy. And I just want to say, if you're a fellow lamb and you've enjoyed us on our little journey together, let us know in the comments on socials, let us know on iTunes, 5-star reviews and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, I think the JB might have just gotten a taste for this and he might want more Mariah action. But we'll see.
Let us know what Mariah album should we do next, if we do any more of the OMC on the RBAY exclamation point. All right, guys, until next time. Bye.